No, no, no. She's not a medical doctor, but she can sure cure your tax problems or your financial woes. She's the how-to girl. It's the Dr. Friday Show. If you have a question for Dr. Friday, call her now, 737-WWTN. That's 737-9986. So here's your host, financial counselor and tax consultant, Dr. Friday.
G'day, I'm Dr. Friday, and the doctor is in the house. We are here live in studio, so if you've got a question, this will be the time to talk, and we've got some good news for some of those procrastinators out there and even some of my clients, because some people never got the memo that if you lived in certain counties, and really the ones that it's closest to us is Davidson, Robertson, and Sumner, but there are 8 counties due to severe thunderstorms and actually I think it was tornado warnings. The FEMA or the IRS ruled as severe thunder, and so now they had until June 17th. So even if you filed your taxes and you weren't able to pay them, or maybe you weren't able to make your first estimate because you had to pay your taxes, or even your fourth quarter estimate on time, it could have been because of financial reasons. If you had a partnership or corporation that was due on March 15th and you weren't able to file it, or regular corporations or fiduciary ones that were due April 15th, or even individuals, also the nonprofit, the tax exempt ones that are due May 15th, all of those estimates, all of those are extended till June 17th. So that gives you, so at least people that live in Robertson, Weekly, Cheatham, Gibson, Stewart, Davidson, Dixon, Montgomery, and Sumner. Those are the counties that have an extension that we'll have till that time. So it gives you a little, I mean, again, if you had a tough time and you weren't able to make it, that will be the direction you want to go. All right, we've got Michael on the line. Hey, Michael, what can I do for you, love?
Hey, how are you today?
I am doing awesome. Yourself?
Not too bad. Headed, just getting off of work, headed toward the house. Going to do a little grilling.
Ah, sounds like a good day. What can I do for you?
So, hey, my wife and myself both, we have money taken out of our paychecks there bi-weekly, and it's given, you know, taken out for taxes because we owe about $3,000 roughly every year.
Okay.
So would it be beneficial to us to not take that money out and invest it because it's the same benefit, or just keep doing what we're doing and invest different money?
Well, yeah, because the biggest problem in interest rates are really pretty good, but there is a penalty for not paying in enough taxes every year. So what you pay in penalty, would it be what you grew the money to be, would be the question, right? And okay. Even if you just put it in a savings, so you couldn't take a risk of losing, but at least that it would grow at 5% or something like that. But the penalty is 6. So bottom line is you're going to lose whatever you make anyways, because the penalty is going to be higher unless you can make 7 or 8%, then the question may change at the moment. So my suggestion would be paying enough so you don't have to worry about it. If it's $500 or less, there's no penalty. So, you know, that number is fine. And then, yes, I mean, if investing, you know, putting into a 401k or investing it outside of your business investments to give yourself a better leverage later in life, that's obviously a smart thing to do, in my opinion.
Well, I appreciate the answer, because my train of thought was similar to that, but I was scared that if I went to, like, my financial advisor and said, hey, I've got this extra $500 a month that I'm putting in taxes, would it be beneficial for you to invest it for me? Because I'm pretty sure he's going to say yes, no matter if he's right or wrong in the situation.
Yeah, and I would honestly hope that your investor guy would say, no, I don't want to take the risk of investing it. That would be the answer, because the last thing we want, I mean, again, if it's a sure thing, at least the principle doesn't change. At least then we know you've always got the $3,000. You don't have to worry about maybe the penalties or whatever. But, you know, if you put it into the stock market, it may be the worst time in the year to take it out when you actually have to pay Uncle Sam, you know? And then not only do you not have the full $3,000 you put in, but you could be upside down and having to pull the money from other investments to cover it because of timing. So yeah, I would hope that it would your investment advisor would give the same advice, Michael, but one never knows with those kind of situations. So yeah, I think it's always safe because the last loan officer you want in the world, as far as I'm concerned, is the Internal Revenue Service.
Okay. Well, hey, that answers my question. I appreciate your time. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too. Enjoy the grilling. All right, we're going to hit James in Lebanon. James, what can I do for you, sweetie?
Yes, Dr. Friday. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I listen to the show quite often. You're always very resourceful and helpful. I have an LLC with my brother, and we're fixing to sell the land in that LLC. And I was wanting to know if I could take my half of the proceeds and do a 1031 exchange without him participating his part in it.
I know there is a way. I'm not an attorney usually, or at least my friend who does it for me is an attorney, and he's a specialist in 1031s. I know I have sent him individuals that have been in partnerships. I'm not too sure if it has to be taken out of the name of the partnership for you to do that before the time of closing, so that you're an individual, he's an individual, and then you guys can do your own thing. At this point, it probably, or the LLC, I should say, but it's basically a partnership. It really wouldn't change anything for tax purposes for him or for you, but it would give you the authority to do, because for some reason I'm thinking we have to take it out of the name of the LLC to do, so you can then have full control of your 50% or whatever percent you own. And then he will treat it as capital gains, pay his taxes, and do what he wants with his. But yes, there is a way around it.
Okay. So I just need to check with an attorney. Is that what you're saying then?
Correct. And if you need someone, just either text my number or call me Monday and I can give you a one that I use. He's here local.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. If you want to join the show, you can at 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986 is the number here in studio. Got a text actually while I was talking to Michael, and this person wanted me to reiterate what the deadlines for individuals and businesses that are in the eight counties, which were Robertson, Weekly, Cheatham, Gibson, Stewart, Davidson, Dixon, Montgomery, and Sumpna. Those are the counties that have an extension on not only fourth quarter 2023, first quarter 2024 for individuals filing your actual tax returns. Some of you may have already filed extensions, which already gave you some of that. But if you didn't make a payment, it also extends the payment date until June 17th, 2024. So that is the date. And if you've got more questions, you can give us a holler. You can, you know, deal with that however you need to do with anyone who needed an additional filing extension beyond June 17th for the 2023 needs to request that electronically by April 15th. So this means that you have to, the extensions were not extended for the deadline, according to this. The IRS urges anyone that needs additional filing beyond 17th to file their federal extension by April 15th. Otherwise, you have to file your taxes by June 17th. There's no extension at that point. You have to file the taxes by June 17th, or you've missed your extension window. That's why, you know, people, I mean, I've been doing, this was our 28th tax season. The one thing I sometimes have people, it's like, well, did you already file an extension on me? I have become a bit over cautious on that, I guess, because the penalties are so high and things happen in life that we don't always expect. Sometimes you always, you know, have people, I've always filed by April. You don't need to ever file an extension on me. But then what if something happened to me is always my fear. What if I'm not able this year? I did have a situation where I was out playing and I burned my hand, and, you know, just, you know, making sure that you had the situation, you know, where I was, you know, out of the office for almost a week. And that put me behind for the entire rest of the tax season. So it was just something I didn't have to worry about. yes. But again, you never know, right? And as a tax professional or any professional, if you're helping clients, you want to always make sure your client is as best protected as you have the ability to do. But I will tell anyone, if you You know, even if you've got a good tax person like myself or whatever, you want to make sure that there is an extension filed. So you should always follow up with your tax person to make sure that happened. But in the situation with some of these people, and I guess I should have pushed this a little earlier because some people may have delayed certain situations, but I do want to make sure because I have a number of people that procrastinate, but maybe this year, instead of waiting until October and paying the penalties and everything, maybe in your situation this year, you could do something until June and get it filed and not have to worry about penalties. That would be a blessing. Now, again, this is only for those counties. So if you're in Williamson County or if you're in Murray County, those aren't going to help you at all in those situations. You are late if you have not filed, and it's time, you know, to move forward on that situation. But meanwhile, if you've got a question and you want to join the show, we'll be taking a quick break here. After the break, we'll get to more of your questions. Maybe you've got a situation where you are the biggest questions usually I get is if you're selling your home or if you inherit something. A lot of times people get very confused on how all of that works. So again, very important to understand that if you you need to know that information before things are sold. I had a situation this last year where they were under the impression that anything they inherited was tax-free. Everything was tax-free. And that's just not always the case. There's interest, there's dividends. And in the case of the one I'm thinking of or the one I'm talking about, they inherited a rental in which they received rental income every month from. Rental income is not tax-free if you inherit it and it's an ongoing payment. You know, common sense in my world sometimes feels like that should be understood, but it isn't always understood. I mean, it'd be like me trying to figure out what's under the hood of my car, to be quite honest. So if you've got questions, there's really no silly or stupid questions. There really is just a matter of all of us understanding what we should or should not have to worry about. So again, we're going to take a quick break, but you can join us 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986. When we get back, we're going to take your phone calls, or you can also email friday@drfriday.com. Sometimes people don't like to come on the radio. I really do understand. It's not a natural thing to just pick up the phone. Some people are great at it, but it's not natural for many of us to just pick up the phone and talk to someone on the radio. But if you want to email your question, you can. friday@drfriday.com. We're going to take our first break. We'll be right back with the Dr. Friday Show. All right, we're back here live in studio. And if you want to join the show, you can at 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986. For any of you that have not heard this show before, I am Dr. Friday, an enrolled agent licensed by the Internal Revenue Service to do taxes and representation. That's what we do year round. So, you know, when the love letter does come in June or July, we're actually open, unlike some different tax offices, because we do this year round. But also, we help those individuals that are behind on taxes, that don't know how they're going to pay the taxes. Maybe you have a unique situation where, you know, you've divorced, which I'm not going to say is very unique, because a large number is one of the reasons people get behind on taxes is because of situations like that. So if you need help doing that, we've been, like I said, we just celebrated our 28th year. We've been dealing a lot with these issues for years, and we've always learning and finding new ways to be able to do what we need to do. And of course, I enjoy this part of the business. So if you've got a situation where you have either you can't pay the IRS, but they're sending you the love letters, there's liens, levies, seizures coming down the line, or you know, you know something's going to be coming down, you need to understand why you hear on the news a lot of times, oh, this person settled their taxes for 10 cents on the dollar. And we've done it. You know, it's not that it doesn't happen, but those same individuals are not homeowners, don't have 401ks. Those same individuals don't have access to anything. They're living paycheck to paycheck. And yes, then you can actually make a pretty good deal with the IRS, assuming that your paycheck to paycheck is within what the IRS would consider a livable wage, not making a decent. I had a gentleman pretty much doing it, but he was making $85,000 a year. And, you know, his lifestyle, because the IRS can tell you what your lifestyle is. You may be out there paying $3,500 a month in rent, But they're not going to allow that if you're going to make a deal with the IRS. That's excessive. That's what they say it. Not to say it is, but that's what, you know, you need to know the game. You need to know the rules so you understand how this is going to work and how you can get settlement. And if I haven't said it in the past, definitely need to say, if this is something that you have, an issue with the IRS, make sure you deal with that before, if you can, before you get married or before you entwine your life with a significant other, because even though that person is not going to be responsible for paying your taxes, the IRS can't say, hey, you're living in the same house, now you're fully responsible. No, but what they can say is, if both of you work and the limit to how much money can be earned, and they will add that individual's income to yours to settle the situation. So maybe you're the one that's always paid the rent and utilities, and the other one has had the money to do other things. Those other things could be considered excessive. They can't take the money from your person, but they can add it in. So it looks like you have a lot more disposable income than you might if you were single and not having someone else help support you. So it is very important to, again, understand before you make these decisions sometimes, and I get it, actually, I can't say I do. I can't imagine marrying someone and then finding out after you get married that this person owed the IRS or has huge credit card debts or huge debts somehow. Because I've had them walk in my office for years. So, I mean, it does happen every single day. But I don't understand how you haven't had the conversation at least before you're actually going to get married. So learning curve on my side, apparently. That being said, if you want to join the show, you can. 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986. Taking your calls, talking about my favorite subject. And I realize, guys, this is the first weekend after the end of tax season. And I am going to say I have not turned on my computers until this show. Well, I work Thursday and Friday, but on the weekend, up until now, obviously every weekend, every day, you know, we're working here. This first weekend, our computers were not on until I got ready to do my radio show. That was fairly nice, to be quite honest. It was a long tax season, but if you have questions, maybe you did file and now you're going to have to set up a payment plan and you're not too sure how. And oh, if you're going to call the IRS and set up a payment plan, do not set up a payment plan that you can't afford to pay. I mean, this last week, two different people came in. The IRS called them, right? Which is very scary. And if you don't do something, we're going to go against your job. We're going to, you know, we're going to put a lien against your house, which I understand no one wants a lien against their house, but think about it. What can the IRS do besides put a lien? It's not like they can take your house. You know, they can't touch your income. And in this other situation, the person was self-employed. So there really wasn't an employer they could easily go back to. Now, again, not to say the IRS has the ability for self-employed people. If you have the same vendors that you go to all the time, they can obtain that vendor list based on 1099s issued, and they can go to those vendors and say, send us 100% of what you owe this person because they're avoiding taxes. And yes, those kind of things can happen, but you can have a lot of steps before that usually happens. But don't, because then the IRS, when we go and try to set up an actual payment plan that needs to be established, you've now got inside your records that you set up a payment plan that you didn't live up to, which makes it harder the next time we try to negotiate an actual payment plan, because you know you agreed to something because you were scared, because the revenue officer was intimidating. You know, you have rights, and those rights are important, so you want to make sure that if you're following through, you've gotten a love letter, or maybe they've sent something to your employer and you're like, oh my god, I gotta get something down. You know, make sure you understand what you're agreeing to, make sure you can do it. You know, I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, because the IRS is not going to take into account your credit card bill. That's your problem, not theirs. They're not going to take into account, you know, you're going out for Starbucks or eating out or any of those kind of things. It's going to be more, you know, what is the essential? And they're going to ask you, how much do you pay in your mortgage or rent? How much your utilities? What's your health insurance? Do you have any medical bills that you have to pay? Anything that's court ordered, et cetera, et cetera. They're going to get down to the basics, but you know, other than the essentials, sometimes, you know, it's hard to live without doing certain things, and they're not going to give you much breathing room on that. So if you're at that situation, you really do need to give our office a call and let us help you set up a payment plan that is reasonable. Again, not everybody's going to see the same number, because I have had, over the years, I've had people that have, you know, kids in private school. And I know I've said this many, many times, but the fact is private school is a luxury. The IRS does not see that as an essential. You know, if you have three cars and all of them have car payments, or if they don't, you get two of them paid off and you got one car payment, they may look at the other two as cars that they don't, that you could afford to sell to pay them. So, you know, if you own extra real estate, if you're looking to, you know, to make a settlement, or if they feel that the payment you're making is not high enough, they can request for you to sell your rental or investment real estate. It's not your primary home. The only thing we have safe is our primary homes. Only car we have is one primary car for each adult. So you and your wife can each have a primary car. If you have children, in some cases, I have had one revenue officer that did not consider that essential. But you know, there are ways of at least bringing that back to the table. But you have to look at life through what is essential and what is a luxury. And those numbers, again, aren't always going to be the same, because some people consider different things. But it's important to not make a deal with the IRS that you can't follow through with, because the next time they may not accept the next deal. And they do have the right to say no. Everyone always acts like it's an automatic. Yes, there are certain, you know, ones that are automatic. But also, if you break up and, you know, don't follow through enough times, they can just say, we're not going to set up another payment plan. We're mandating the money. And you don't want to be the person that's at the other end of that phone call, because most people don't have access to the money. They're going to get much more aggressive. And, you know, you want to keep that communication going in the right direction. That's all. I mean, you want to make sure you understand what the IRS is giving you as an option and how that's going to work best for you. All right. So we're going to gear up for a second break here in a second. And if you want to join the show, and I get it, it's gorgeous outside. It's a day that I would be outside right now, or we'll be going back outside before you know it. The number here is 615-737-9986. 615-737-9986 is the number here in studio. If you want to join the show, and you can also email friday@drfriday.com. Again, friday@drfriday.com. is the number that you can email, that you can send to. And as an enrolled agent, we are a shield between you and the IRS, right? As what we do is representation. The tax law says that you're entitled to representation, and that we can help be that go-between between the IRS and you. Because again, they're not, I know a lot of people will disagree with this. The people I know and that I work with at the IRS, not there to intimidate. They're there to do collections. I mean, that's the most aggressive ones are the collection side. Their job is to collect. They're not there to do resolution. They're not there to make life easy. They're there to collect money. And that's the ones that most of us deal with on a day-to-day basis. I will say there's a division of the IRS that many of you guys don't do much with. And of course, that is the Tax Advocate Office. I am an advocate for the Tax Advocate Office, because they have helped in the last number of years to resolve probably 20 cases, you know, with their assistance in doing things. So it's just important to be able to give credit where credit is due. There is a division that is there to help with resolution. All right. So we're going to actually take the break, and then we'll come back to David. It'll be easier that way. I've got plenty of time to talk to him, because we're right on top of the clock here. If anyone else would like to join the show, 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986. We're going to be taking a quick break. When we get back, we'll go to David and anyone else that comes on the lines. We'll be right back with the Dr. Friday Show. Alrighty, we are back live in studio, and this is the Dr. Friday Show. And why don't we hit right to the phones with David, and we can see if I can help him with his question. Hey, David, what can I do for you?
Yeah, hi, Dr. Friday. I went ahead and did my taxes through a user software, and I was going through it and doing it, and I thought I was doing such a good job. But when I put everything together and got excited and sent it off, I'd forgotten about my wife's Social Security, and we had a 1099 on that. So I tried to do an extension because naturally I waited till the last minute, but they rejected my extension. So at this point, I know I'm probably going to end up owing a little bit of money as opposed to getting money back, but that's what was originally on the original one that I sent in. So now where am I at and what do I need to do?
You have two options, to be quite honest with you. One is I would go back into the software, find out how much money you owe, and then just send, you can go to irs.gov, click on pay, then do it as a balance due to the tax year. So the money is in there, right? Because I think what's going to happen is IRS is going to do a match. They do it for all of us, you know, see if all your forms match up. And they're going to discover that you understated income. But if the money's sitting there, then the penalty is minimal, right? Because you've already accounted for it. And when you get that letter, it's going to say, oh, we're going to change your taxes and this is how much money you owe. Or you can do an amended tax return, a 1040X, and add it in and then send the money in. That's your two options. I mean, either way, the most important part of that whole conversation is getting the money paid in. The 1040X is probably the most efficient because that way you're telling them, because it could take them a year to figure out maybe, you know, what's going on. But other than that, that would be my way of going. Is David still there?
I'm still here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Sorry. I couldn't hear you. That would be the direction I would go.
No problem. I was just saying thanks. I appreciate all that you do.
No problem. Thanks for calling. I appreciate that. All right. Let's hit Jason. Hey, Jace, what's happening?
How are you doing today? Thank you for taking the call.
I am doing awesome. Thanks for calling.
Okay. So what I have is about... I don't even know the exact date. It's been about 14 years where lost a business and a commercial loan. Since then, got divorced. All of a sudden, I didn't find out about it till in 2022, that in 2021, they charged it off finally after it had to have been a good 9-10 years.
Right.
They sent a letter. I finally got it from the IRS. I never got the letter from the bank when they did the 1099 saying that I owed X amount of dollars. My ex-wife got the same letter for the same amount. So they basically tried to charge both of us. How do I get it split in half? Because I tried, the IRS told me I had to get another 1099 issued for just half of it. And it's been an act of God.
It's not going to happen. That's not going to happen because they're considering it a joint situation. What you're both going to do in essence is, or one of you basically, but anyways, whoever's doing your taxes, whatever, I would actually issue the ex-wife a 1099 for her share. Right. And then she's going to write it off and put in the memo probably that no, forget the 1099. I just put in the memo that this is a 50-50. And then you would report 50% of it and expense the other 50% to your ex-wife. She's going to be picking that same dollar amount up on her return, the 50%, and she'll be expensing the other 50% under your Social Security. So basically, on both returns, what you would have is the other person's Social Security with the other 50%. So when the IRS looks at both returns, they would see 100% reported.
Okay.
And it would start with the full number.
She got one also, a letter.
Right, 100%. Both of you got 100%. So you need to correct the tax return that happened.
Yeah, she doesn't make the money I do. I make six figures. She's much less. So they were able to get what they basically said she couldn't afford it, and the IRS said that she didn't have to pay it.
Okay, well, she made an offer in compromise. So all you're going to do is correct yours and write off the other to her Social Security number, which is the other half. And then you're going to pay tax on the 50% that is truly yours. But you have to start out with 100%.
I'm willing to pay half.
Yeah.
I just didn't think I should pay whole. All right. I appreciate
But now
that.
let me clarify. This isn't what you need to first report. You need to file a tax return with your share on it, right?
Okay.
Because it sounds like the IRS has already assessed you. and they've assessed you for 100%.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying, so you need to go back and actually amend the tax return to show that dollar amount and to show how much you actually owe, because otherwise she got a waiver and you're going to be responsible for 100%, because if she got a waiver and it was during the time that you're married, you're not going to qualify for an offer and compromise. And of course she doesn't care, but she got a waiver for all 100%. Because that's what happened. So that you got left holding the whole bag. So you need to amend the tax return to show what you were truly responsible for, not the 50, not the 100%. Otherwise, they're going to come after you for all 100%. And there's no way around it.
That's easy enough. I will get that taken care of here in the next couple of days. Thank you.
Cool. Thanks, buddy. All right.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Bill in Nashville. Let's hit Bill in Nashville.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, Bill, what's happening, bud?
Well, I had some trust shares that were granted to me by my insurance company in the year 2000, and I decided to sell those shares this year. The value of the shares when I first received them was $14.25.
Okay.
I sold them at, the profit from it, my gross from it, was $8,205.
Okay.
When I sold them this year. So my question to you is, I don't really have any expenses to take off of that $8,205 unless I can take the value of the shares when I received them.
Did you actually buy them, or were they given to you?
It was granted. They gave them to me.
Granted. Okay. That's what I thought you said. I just wanted to make sure I was hearing you correct.
Yeah.
So that is not a deduction. So the $8,205 that you received is long-term capital gains, all of it.
Okay. And then what's the percentage rate on that?
Depending on your income bracket, if you're single and make less than $50,000, it's zero. If you're single and you make $100,000, then it's 15%.
Well, that fits me. I'm certainly make less than $50,000. I've been retired for about 25 years. So.
Well, there you go. See, so that's good news. So it really has zero effect on you. Just have to report it, but it won't affect your taxes.
Okay. I'm certainly glad to know that. And I appreciate you giving me the advice.
No problem. Thank you for calling.
Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye-bye. All right, Jim in Nashville. Let's hit Jim in Nashville. Hey, Jim, what's happening?
Hello there. Not much. How you doing?
I am doing great.
Good, good, good. Earned income credit on somebody who was retired but did earn some money. Is there an earned income credit for a single person?
There is, and I believe it's less than $12,000 or $14,000. Earned, you have to have 12, or that we make less than 12 to 14,000. There is a small earned income credit for individual without children.
Will they figure it and send that, or is that something that you have?
Yes,
to
you would have to file a tax return. I mean, even though you may not be required, you'd have to file the tax return to obtain the credit.
Right, I filed it. I was just wondering if I didn't put it on there, will they come back and tell me that I earned additional?
I would like to say the answer is yes. I have seen it done, but I don't know if you had filed it, it would have kicked in most likely on most tax softwares. Is this person, did you say this is an older individual or a child?
No, older.
Or neither. Older. Okay. Yeah. They should have qualified. Are they on Social Security?
The person's on Social Security.
Okay.
And they earned
some
money.
Uh-huh.
And I did not put the
ERTC on it. Yes, I think they will. I mean, honestly, I think they will. But it may take 6 months for you to get the change of your income letter.
So don't spend it.
They should send it, yes.
Just don't spend it yet, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Good idea. Don't spend it until you get it. It's a good motto to have.
thank you.
No worries. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's hit George before the next break. That way he doesn't have to wait through it. Hey, Georgie.
Hi, Dr. Friday. How are you?
I am doing very well. What can I do for you?
I had filed my taxes with TurboTax, and I forgot to put in my investment interest expense, which I assumed was I have a margin account, and I have like over $20,000 of margin interest that I pay. I forgot to put that in my in the tax return that I filed. And is that not a legitimate expense for investment?
You're saying margin. Yes, there is a place for margin interest to come off. It is on the Schedule A. So it isn't going to necessarily come off of the direct 1040 unless you itemize. So it's not going to be a part of just a straight 1040.
Okay. Is it not an investment interest? Isn't that not an expense?
On the Schedule A, it is an expense, but it's not on a Schedule B or D. It falls on the Schedule A.
Okay.
So you have to itemize. And you may, I mean, if you've got $20,000 and you're single, you would be itemizing without your property tax, sales tax, and other things that might have helped kick you over.
So right, it might have been something itemizing you could have used. But I'm married, filing jointly. But okay. And another question popped up. I guess there's a limit on, I'm over 65, and I guess there's a limit on your income that you receive so you could, that you'd be able to take that deduction?
That's a good point. This is when I like to say I cheat, because our system, there could be a limited income, a loss that you can take, an expense. It may roll over, but there may be a limit at how much you can take based on your income. Honestly, okay. I don't, I like to say I have a ton of people. I don't have a lot of people that have margin interest, so it's not something I put in on a daily basis, like capital gains and interest income and, you know, George, but if you want, you can certainly give me a call on Monday and we can pull it up and confirm that, just because you don't want to amend a tax return that's not going to get you more money back, which would be the what you'd have to do to correct it.
If I put that, if I file with TurboTax, and if I put that amount in there and access my 1040, do I have to file a 1040X to amend
it? Yes, 100%. Yes. Yes, you would have to file a 1040X.
Okay, and that's the way to amend it. Okay.
That's the way, yeah. Thanks, George.
Yeah, okay. Thank you so much.
Bye. Bye-bye. All right, we're going to take our last break here, and we come back. We'll get some more of your phone calls at 615-737-9986, 615-737-9986. We'll be right back with the Dr. Friday Show. All righty, we are back here live in studio, and we're at the last bit of the show. I do want to go back to George's question, because I wanted to double check. So sometimes on the radio, it's a little quick response I have to do. So I was right, you itemize it, but the caveat to that conversation is you can't deduct more margin interest than you have in net investment, which is, of course, your interest, your dividends, and your short-term capital gains. So if you had $20,000 of interest, dividends, and short-term capital gains, you could deduct up to $20,000 of margin interest. But if you did not, you were only limited to that deduction. So just a point of interest there, and it does again fall on your itemizing. All right, let's head over to Doug in Hendersonville. Talk about a home sale, it looks like. Talk to me, Doug.
Hi, Dr. Friday. I recently sold my duplex for $510,000. Okay. I bought it in 1996 for $75,000. I lived there 28 years. It was my primary residence, yet I also rented out the other side for rental income. Would I be responsible for long-term capital gains since it was my primary residence?
Well, theoretically, it depends on two things. You have one is you're going to have to do the recapture of depreciation on the second half of the house. You're going, I mean, because a duplex is kind of like two homes attached, is the way I look at it. So theoretically, you paid $75,000, which was what, $30,000 each side? Was it $32,500, something like that for each side? And then you sold it for, you know, $510,000, which is obviously what, whatever that is, split in half. Goodness gracious, I need to keep a calculator closer to my computer here. so that you have two sides of obviously the side you lived in. And what you sold it for, you know, are you single or married, sweetheart?
I am single.
Okay. So the exclusion we have on a primary home is $250,000 plus what you paid for it. So if I'm doing my basic math here using my phone, because obviously my brain's not working, we have $255,000 each side with roughly 32.5 as an investment. You will not be paying capital gains on your side, right? So the 32.5, 250, you're in perfect shape. The other side, theoretically, depending on how you depreciate it and everything else, is going to fall into potentially some taxes, obviously, on it. Now, I have to ask, you paid $75,000 back in 96. Was there any major improvements done on this property over the years?
Yes, ma'am, there was.
Okay. So, you know, you're going to want to go back through and put all of that together. So yes, the original 75, but maybe you put another 75, especially on the rental side. Cause I mean, obviously I maintain rentals and we don't put a ton, but you want to keep it at least at a certain thing. So you may have had to redo the kitchen, or you may have had to do the floors or put a new AC unit in it. So those values, and some of them you would have possibly been depreciating or taking off on the rental side, but not on the primary side. So you just got to crunch all the numbers and then come back at it. But I would say, based on this conversation, because even if we just took simple math and said, all right, $75,000 plus 250, and I'm sure you've done this math, I'm just cheating here, it's 325, you sold it for 510. So you've got capital gains, no matter if it had been all your primary or not, you have roughly 185,000. That will fall into theoretically a capital gain situation.
Yes,
I mean, depending on how much you put into it.
Yes, ma'am. Now, regarding the income, if I'm correct, is there a minimum income that an individual can make, a single can make, that qualifies them as 0% that they need to pay? Is it under 42,000, under 50,000?
Yeah, it's under 50,000. Under 50,000.
Is that the income for 2024?
I mean, I'm going to play it safe. It's basically going to be closer to about 57,000. You know, we kind of use the even numbers in my world. So 5,100. So, yes, and we can, I mean, you can get the crunch. I mean, I can give you the exact number, but on Monday or whatever, if you need to make sure you're working towards that. But don't forget, you are, I mean, again, if you depreciate, and if you didn't, theoretically you have recapture of that depreciation, and you've got 20, you may have almost depreciated, because back in those days it was what, 27? You may be on top of close to. Yeah, you're close to almost being fully depreciated on that property, possibly.
I am. I was. Yes, ma'am. That's exactly correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, the good news is you may not have recapture because it's so old.
Yeah.
You know, well, so you might want to, you know, if you have a tax person, Doug, if not, you know, give us a holler. We can do some crunching once you get all your numbers down. And just so you make sure that you've, you know, obviously the biggest concern is set aside enough money so you can pay Uncle Sam. You have 90 days from the time of sale to theoretically make an estimate if you owe taxes.
No, but that tax is not due till 2025. Is that not correct? Because it goes on next year's taxes when it comes due? Okay.
Well, the tax law says you have to pay 110% of the year before, or you have to make estimates within 90 days.
Within 90 days. Okay.
So whatever you owed in 2023, or have it. Yes. So you have a little window.
I sure appreciate all your help, Dr. Friday. Thank you so much.
No problem, buddy. Good luck. All righty. So we're winding down the show here. Hopefully you guys are enjoying this Saturday. Seriously, it's a beautiful day outside. I hope you guys don't have to spend the whole day talking about taxes, even though I do appreciate you guys joining me on this this Saturday, considering it's not tax season, but for many of us, we're always preparing, just like Doug. He's got a situation already starting for 2024, and it's great that he's working the numbers now, not waiting for later, because, you know, longer you think about it, then, you know, he's got time to recreate and figure out what he did and didn't do on his property. So if you need help with taxes, or you need consulting on how to, you know, crunch the numbers, or even just figure out what your liability is, because it's a there's always moving parts, just like on a home, primary home sale. And Doug's situation is a little bit different. Most of us have one home, one residence, and then we can just take and add or subtract to that situation. But in his case, because part of it was profitable or investment real estate, and the other half was primary. He has a split situation to deal with. If you have questions, you can email friday@drfriday.com. I do want to reiterate again about the June 17th for the eight counties of Robertson, Weakley, Cheatham, Gibson, Stewart, Davidson, Dixon, Montgomery, and Sumpner. Those individuals are at an extension automatically until June 17th for the tax year of 2023, which also means that you don't have to worry about if you missed the fourth quarter or if you missed the first quarter. Maybe you can make it all up on the June 17th. Now, again, don't make the fourth quarter 2023 on your June 17th first quarter estimate. Yeah, keep your quarters separate or they'll put it on the wrong year. Or if you need help, just call the office 615-367-0819, 615-367-0819. You can also check us out on the web at drfriday.com. Again, drfriday.com is the website, or email friday@drfriday.com. We are obviously going to be in the office on Monday, so you can just leave a message and we'll get back with you as soon as we can. Also, if you haven't filed taxes, we can complete your 2023, set up an appointment, get you all squared away so that way we can move forward. Because keep in mind, you cannot do anything as far as making a deal, making a payment plan, anything unless you're in compliance. So just because you filed 2023 but you haven't filed those prior years, you're going to find out that you don't have the ability to make a payment plan, because the IRS has to show that you are in compliance before we can make the payment plan. So it's important to get all that back work done first, and then moving forward on how to make the resolution. More important to pay forward and not to concentrate so much on the past. Often people are so worried. All right, we'll be taking a quick break, and we will be seeing you next Saturday, as we say in Australia. Call you later. Dr. Friday, Tax and Financial Firm, Inc. Have you received love letters from the Internal Revenue Service? I'm Dr. Friday, an enrolled agent.
Great job.